This is Audible.
Phoenix Audio presents.
The Breast Cancer Prevention Diet. The powerful foods, supplements, and drugs that can save your life. By Dr. Robert Arnott, MD. Part 1. Nutrition and Breast Cancer. For decades, breast cancer has stood alone among major diseases because its victims lacked even a single practical preventive measure with which to protect themselves. In most epidemics, we've had the power to defend ourselves: vaccines for the flu, lowered cholesterol for heart disease, smoking cessation for lung cancer, lowered blood pressure for stroke, and safe sex for AIDS. But despite the decades-long terrifying increase in new breast cancer cases, women have stood virtually powerless to prevent the disease. That had left a quiet sense of desperation among survivors like 37-year-old Deborah McCurdy, mother of four. Deborah had advanced breast cancer that required four cycles of intensive chemotherapy, aggressive radiation, and a bone marrow transplant. My little girl was only two. I had to live to see her grow up. Deborah finally has a chance to do just that. The good news is this. In the spring of 1998, there emerged the first real hope for women like Deborah that breast cancer might be prevented. Years of investment in breast cancer research is finally beginning to pay off and yield major discoveries by leading scientists working in North America and Europe in nearly a dozen different scientific fields. Most of these discoveries were unveiled in bits and pieces, and so were virtually unknown to the public at large, with little drawn together into a comprehensive plan. What appears is a great untold secret. Nutrition is emerging as the most important way to prevent breast cancer. Deborah McCurdy is a firm believer. What we eat is such a big part of our lives, there just has to be some effect from what we eat on how we get sick. It seems so logical. Deborah is trying to prevent a recurrence through a unique breast cancer prevention diet at UCLA. As it does for every woman interviewed for this book, a breast cancer diet gives Deborah a remarkable sense of finally being in charge. Having a sense of control made me feel more positive about my condition. I was able to make a difference and help myself. Whether you're trying to prevent breast cancer or are a breast cancer survivor, you too can grasp that sense of control and hope that this disease can be prevented and its intensity diminished. As a medical journalist, I confess that I was unaware that diet played any significant part in breast cancer until I was asked what seemed like a simple question: how do I prevent breast cancer? The question came from my wife, chairman of the Associates Committee at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She rarely talked about it, but breast cancer had struck her mother at an alarmingly young age. Courtney and I had been through much of the catastrophe with her mother, from the first shock at the small mass on the mammogram, through the false hopes that the cancer would be contained, through the aggressive treatment, a mastectomy, to the new hope after reconstructive surgery, and now the endless, just below the surface anxiety that this cancer could recur at any time. Her mother is not alone in her anxiety. Courtney has stood powerless under the looming shadow of this dreaded disease, wondering if or when it will strike her. Courtney is at a higher risk for early breast cancer due to her mother's young age when first diagnosed, and several other risk factors. In her 30s, she already has annual mammograms. The clock is ticking, and she and I want the answer now. How do you prevent breast cancer? I tell friends I have one of the most exciting jobs in the world. The greatest thrill is finding cutting-edge research that has immediate benefit in people's lives. Thanks to thousands of incredibly dedicated medical researchers who are willing to share their findings, I have access to critical, often life-saving information months before it becomes public knowledge. Because nutrition as a means of preventing cancer has been such a neglected field, researchers have been unusually forthcoming, willing to share information that otherwise might take years to reach the public. In pursuing an answer for Courtney, I stumbled onto a quick succession of remarkable findings clearly connecting diet to breast cancer. The first clue came while I interviewed Dr. John Glaspie of the prestigious UCLA Comprehensive Cancer Center. He had just published a study in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute about diet and breast cancer. John sounded like he had struck gold. For many women, he had. What he discovered was breathtaking. Like most breakthroughs, John's work was grounded in basic science. He knew that rats implanted with human breast cancers quickly developed fast-growing tumors when fed a diet heavy in omega-6 fats, such as corn oil, safflower oil, and many brands of margarine. He also knew that cancers shrank quickly and dramatically in rats fed omega-3 fats, such as fish oils. Armed with this evidence, he asked a group of breast cancer survivors to ingest large quantities of fish oils. We all think of preventive efforts as taking many decades to come to fruition. Kids are told, eat your vegetables. Why? Well, if we're truthful, we'd answer, so you don't get sick in middle age. Not the kind of answer that gets much play with a 9-year-old. What Dr. Glaspie found amazed him. Dramatic changes in 3 short months. The actual structure of these women's breasts had changed and had become far more resistant to breast cancer. After hearing his story, I asked John, how do you prevent breast cancer? I could feel his energy and enthusiasm practically lift the telephone receiver out of my hand, despite the distance of nearly 3,000 miles. He said that the wrong diet was the major driving factor behind breast cancer in this country. John pointed out that we can learn from studying other cultures. For instance, breast cancer strikes 1 in 40 Asian women compared to 1 in 8 American women. Why? John believes the difference is a hugely beneficial diet. Foods aren't just a small risk factor for breast cancer. They can be nearly the whole game. John continued, the right foods may be the major driving force that curbs the current epidemic, accounting for as much as 75% of the risk of breast cancer. I thought about Dr. Glaspie's conversation for weeks afterward. Gee, if the cancer has already begun, isn't it too late to stop it? Sure, I was a big believer in foods as drugs, but drugs that powerful? My next clue came from Dr. Dean Ornish. He was visiting my NBC office to talk about an amazing new project. Dean had become world famous for proving the impossible, that heart disease could not just be stopped, it could be reversed. My jaw gradually dropped as he explained his newest quest, reversing cancer. He didn't mean reversing a cancer that was full grown, but rather reversing the cancer when it was at its very youngest stages. Could it possibly work? He had preliminary proof which cannot be reported here until it has first appeared in a scientific journal. Dr. Lillian Thompson from the University of Toronto has provided the most compelling early proof that cancer can be reversed. Her work is just now being prepared for publication. What she has found is that breast cancer size actually decreases with a daily course of flaxseed. Flaxseed is quickly becoming one of the most popular health foods in America and has been called one of the most remarkable healing foods of our time. Flaxseed has 2 critical parts, flax oil, one of the healthiest fats you can eat, and a special fiber that protects against breast cancer and heart disease. This breakthrough study shows that breast cancer size decreases in the short time period between the diagnosis of breast cancer and surgery. That phenomenon is uncommonly seen even with very powerful chemotherapy. But for food to cause a cancer to shrink, this is a real and remarkable first. That kind of shrinkage may reduce the surgery required from a mastectomy to a lumpectomy. Begun early enough, it might prevent cancer altogether. That led me to an old friend of mine, Dr. Erwin Rosenberg. He runs the world-famous Jean Mayer Nutrition Center at Tufts University in Boston. I asked him, how can we possibly discover all we need to know about foods that prevent breast cancer now, not 10 years from now? It was really a rhetorical question. I didn't honestly expect any answer but the usual. We'll have to wait until the completion of randomized, double-blind, controlled trials. Those are the gold standard in medicine. There were a dozen such trials now underway to prove that diet prevented breast cancer, but they were years from completion. However, I had guessed wrong. That was not Dr. Rosenberg's answer. He said, "Bob, most Americans don't want to wait. We have dozens of terribly promising preventive treatments for which the controlled trials have not been finished. But we have a new way of looking at the problem. It's called evidence-based nutritional analysis." In his kind and professorial way, he carefully explained that by piecing together all of the available data, we might find an answer. He was rapidly assembling a team to look at the available information for a variety of illnesses. I quickly turned to breast cancer, where there was already a wealth of nutritional evidence, from test tubes, animal studies, and human studies, to studies on women in countries with low breast cancer rates. You name it. And the results of these studies weren't just a series of isolated facts, but were all pieces of a giant jigsaw puzzle that could be put together. Very few pieces were still missing. By prodding researchers in the field, I might see those last few pieces fall into place. Evidence-based medicine, as reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association, involves integrating current best evidence. Evidence-based nutritional analysis is why thousands of American women are already on a breast cancer prevention diet, women like Kathy Owens, who have volunteered to be part of this brave experiment. Says Kathy, "I had the opportunity to work with scientists, people who actually know what works. It was a chance to help myself and to help other people. After you've had breast cancer, you want to help yourself, but you also want to help others so they don't have to go through what you did. You get to help in some way by being in this study. It's a chance to give back, at the same time helping yourself become healthier." Her physicians have integrated the very best from literally thousands of first-rate scientific papers on breast cancer. Taking a cue from Dr. Rosenberg, I understood that women didn't have to wait for all these long-range studies to be completed. Kathy could make a bet with the odds greatly in her favor that modifying her diet would go a long way to preventing a recurrence of breast cancer. I was in a really negative situation, having breast cancer, but this is something positive that's come out of it. I've changed my diet, taken steps to help myself. It works. The study showed that, and I know I feel better. I have some control again over my life. The breast cancer prevention diet presented here will integrate all of the latest and most vital research for you into a diet that could save your life. I'm asking you to bet that this diet can play a large part in decreasing your risk of developing breast cancer or, if you already have breast cancer, preventing a recurrence. This is not a bet made on blind faith. It's a bet made on a sound analysis of all the current nutritional research. How good a bet is it? How safe a bet is it? Is it a bet you should make? Here's the case for making the bet today. The breast cancer prevention pill works. In April 1998, in a breathtaking discovery, the National Cancer Institute reported that high-risk women who took the drug tamoxifen decreased their risk of breast cancer by 45%. Tamoxifen diminishes the effect of estrogen, the chief fuel for breast cancer growth, by blocking the estrogen receptor, the key principle of the breast cancer prevention diet. For some very high-risk women, the breast cancer prevention pill will be an appropriate measure at the proper age, as we'll see in Part 3 of this program. But for most women, the breast cancer prevention diet offers the benefits of medication, but none of the risks, such as those of blood clots or uterine cancer. The breast cancer prevention pills tamoxifen and raloxifene are described at length in the section Step 1, Block the Estrogen Receptor. It's a bet being made with hard cash. Tens of millions of dollars are being spent on divining the nutritional secrets of breast cancer. Research dollars are invested incredibly conservatively. There must be milestones at every step of the way that show progress is being made. And it is in spades. Every piece of evidence points to a strong nutritional role, from studies of women in foreign countries with low breast cancer rates to studies of animals, test tubes, and humans. If the trail had turned cold at any step along the way, the cash would have turned off. It hasn't. Intermediate endpoints are known. Researchers look for endpoints in clinical trials. For breast cancer, those endpoints would be fewer cases of cancer, fewer cancer deaths, less spread of the disease. Most studies are not that far along. There are, however, what are called intermediate endpoints. We can use these intermediate endpoints to evaluate the benefits of the diet, and the diet has already proved to be effective. It changes the breast's composition, and in some cases, decreases the size of an already existent breast cancer. You can't afford to wait. The fully tested breast cancer prevention diet is a decade away. Why? Human nutritional trials take a very long time to do. For conclusive results, at least 1,000 women at very high risk would have to be studied for 5 years or longer. And the government won't fund most studies that don't concentrate on one single change, such as a low-fat diet. That means at the end of those 5 years, there would be proof that only a single ingredient or nutritional concept worked, such as soy protein or fruits or vegetables. That's why constructing an entire program now makes so much sense. The breast cancer prevention diet provides an ideal framework with which to observe and incorporate changes in your diet as they are reported. Healthier breasts. Clear, healthful fluid courses through the milk ducts of a healthy breast, capable of withstanding the insults of toxic foods and chemicals in our environment. However, in women who smoke or eat a high-fat diet, that fluid turns dark and may contain toxins that increase the risk of cancer. This is an epidemic, and it may only get worse. Since 1940, there has been a 1% increase per year in the rate of breast cancer. This epidemic is not just American. It is evident throughout the world and is increasing, from Japan to Africa. In fact, breast cancer is the most common cause of cancer death for women worldwide. That means that your risk may continue to increase. The National Cancer Institute reports that there is no evidence of an epidemic. However, an epidemic is defined as an unacceptably high level by current world standards. In the case of breast cancer, rates are up to 10 times higher in the United States than in Far Eastern countries. It works for billions of other women. In the United States, out of 100,000 women, 30 to 40 are expected to die of breast cancer. In Thailand and Sri Lanka, that number is an astonishing 2 to 5. You could make the argument that the difference in numbers is due to genetic differences, but it isn't. When Asian women move to the United States, they and their daughters suffer an increased risk of breast cancer close to that of American women. When women move from countries with a high breast cancer risk to that of a lower one, their risk declines as well. It is diet and physical activity that protect billions of women in Japan, China, Korea, Thailand, and Africa. You cannot err with a healthy diet. One could argue that a wait-and-see attitude would be prudent. That would be true if there were substantial risks in such a diet. However, the major error you would be making would be toward a much healthier all-around diet. The nutrients in the breast cancer prevention diet have been widely shown to prevent a host of other diseases, from heart attack and stroke to other major cancers, diabetes, and obesity. You can only improve your health. It's a bet made by thousands of American women with breast cancer. John Glaspy has found the volunteers in his study to be the most dedicated patients he has ever known. Perhaps they've caught his infectious enthusiasm. Perhaps, too, it's because his ideas really work. Kathy Owens says doctors threw the book at her in the summer of 1995. She underwent chemotherapy, lumpectomy, mastectomy, stem cell transplantation, and radiation therapy. "Tomorrow's my 50th birthday," she said when we spoke. "When I was diagnosed, I didn't think I'd be here to see it, so I'm celebrating, and I feel that I'm going to be around for many more because of the things that I'm doing, the changes that I've made." It boosts the effects of breast cancer prevention drugs. Even the best estrogen receptor blockers don't entirely prevent breast cancer. The addition of a great diet adds tremendous synergy to decrease even further your risk of cancer. Food is a lot kinder to your body than drugs. Drugs strongly interfere at one very specific point in the sequence that causes cancer and can therefore develop prominent side effects. By changing your diet, you can interrupt many places in the sequence without the toxicity of drugs. With the amazing inspiration of Kathy and Deborah and dozens of other heroic volunteers, I resolved to embark on a journey for my wife. We would spread all the research out on our dining room table like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. I would take as long as it took, turn over every last stone, and come back to her with an answer. Since that resolution, I have combed the scientific literature from around the world, read thousands of papers, and visited the laboratories of the most prominent scientists at the finest scientific institutions, from Harvard and UCLA to the National Cancer Institute. Courtney and I have experimented with hundreds of different foods and food combinations at home. I have found dazzling new techniques for probing the nutritional secrets of cancer prevention. In the end, we have uncovered the key elements of a breast cancer prevention diet. The diet is everything we imagined it could be and more, capable of quickly and effectively changing the actual structure of the breast, capable of changing the flow in the body of hormones that induce breast cancer from the very first day. It's a fun diet with lots of variation and many other benefits, from preventing heart disease and building stronger bones to losing unwanted body fat. But first and foremost, it is a diet that will make you feel the best you have ever felt. This diet is carefully designed to lift your mood rather than dump it, as is so common when you're asked to give up the food you love. You'll also find this is a highly satiating diet that will make it far easier to shed unwanted fat. What you will find in the following sections is a full account of the foods that cause breast cancer and the treasured foods that prevent breast cancer. You'll also find laid out a range of diets. A diet for women with high estrogen levels, i.e. those who have not reached menopause. A diet for women with low estrogen levels, i.e. for those who are past menopause. A breast cancer survivor's diet. An intensive intervention program for women at high risk using several powerful supplements. Dietary guidelines for your daughters. The earlier your children start, the better their chances of entirely avoiding this cancer. The breast cancer prevention diet is true primary prevention, but it does not displace secondary prevention, finding tumors at their earliest stages. That means that self-examination and mammography will still play a critical role in cutting your risk of death from breast cancer. What makes breast cancer grow? The myth of the Eureka factor. Many of us in medicine have been brought up to believe in the lone gunman theory of breast cancer, which suggests that a single event or toxin or food causes cancer. You will read hundreds of news accounts over the years of foods linked to an increased risk of breast cancer. There have been lots of suspects, ranging from a high-fat diet and red meat to pesticides in foods, but they all have disappointed researchers. Why? What these researchers really want to find is a food that increases the risk by 500%. That would constitute a Eureka factor, a factor that almost certainly causes breast cancer. But unfortunately, none of these ever eked out a risk much more than 20 or 30%, very unimpressive numbers. That has caused many scientists and doctors to give up on finding or pursuing a breast cancer diet. How, then, can food's role in cancer development be explained? The answer is that many factors have to be added together to develop and grow a breast tumor. These factors are not simply thrown together into a toxic soup. They fall neatly into place as part of a pathway that causes cancer cells to divide and grow. There is not one food that causes cancer, but a well-defined series of foods that participate. Like a series of dominoes that need to fall, one onto another, a chain of events needs to occur before a cancer can grow. This chain reaction is set off by surprisingly few foods and can require only a few steps to blunt or block it. That's because these factors can create an astounding synergistic effect. Where one nutritional factor may have little influence, several together may exert a very damaging effect or a very powerful protective effect. A favorable change in risk cannot be attributed to a single factor. A change in a woman's entire dietary pattern is probably responsible for reducing risk. That is, a diet high in fiber, fruits and vegetables, and exercise, and low in fat and alcohol consumption, explains Stephen Clinton, MD, of Harvard's Dana-Farber Cancer Center. As an example, in rural South Africa, women have a breast cancer risk of 4 per 100,000, about 90% less than American women. They have a moderately low-fat diet, lots of fiber, and a modest number of calories. Each of those factors alone has little influence and has failed to produce any results in American women. But all three of these protective factors linked together yield remarkable, virtually unbeatable results. This section lays out the chain of events that leads to breast cancer. As you will see, there are only about half a dozen steps. And that's good news because, as we've seen in rural South African women, every step is a potential target for prevention with the right foods. And the great news is that foods do target each step. Cancer development is divided into two stages. The first is cancer initiation, when a genetic mistake turns a cell cancerous. The second is promotion, which causes this cancerous cell to divide, grow, and spread. Since foods exert their most powerful effect on blocking cancer promotion, let's consider that first. Cancer promotion, the estrogen effect. Breast cancer is called a hormonally driven tumor. That means the development and growth of the tumor is spurred by the body's hormones. In breast cancer, it is the hormone estrogen that primarily drives its development and growth. On balance, estrogen is an enormously healthful hormone. We know estrogen primarily for its effect on the secondary sex characteristics in women, from growth of the uterus and thickening of the vaginal lining to breast development. Estrogen also has a variety of roles that promote great health. Estrogen protects the heart by making more good cholesterol and less bad cholesterol, as well as keeping blood vessels pliable so they don't stiffen with age. Estrogen protects against bone loss by helping to absorb calcium from the bloodstream. In the urinary tract, estrogen helps to maintain the outer membranes of the urethra and bladder to prevent infections. Estrogen stimulates water retention and oil lubrication in the epidermis so that skin remains soft and youthful. Scientists are just beginning to learn that estrogen interacts with nerve growth factors to protect brain cells from degenerating. Estrogen has been shown in animal studies to increase the number of connections between brain cells responsible for thought, movement, instinctive response, and learning. It also helps the brain to imprint new memories. Although we talk about estrogen as if it were a single hormone, there are actually several different forms of estrogens. As you listen to this program, the key definitions to keep in mind are those for strong and weak estrogens, good and bad estrogens, and chemical estrogens. Estradiol is referred to as a strong estrogen in this book. This is the principal estrogen and is the most powerful natural estrogen produced by the body. There are also weak estrogens that counterbalance strong estrogens. Weak estrogens are also called plant estrogens, since these come from soybeans and flaxseed. The Strang Cancer Prevention Center in New York City has also popularized the idea of good and bad estrogens. As you'll hear, estrogens become good or bad as the body prepares them for excretion from the body after their useful life is finished. One excretion pathway makes good estrogens, the other makes bad estrogens. This is explained at greater length in the section, Step 3, Make Good Estrogens. For now, it's important to remember that there are both strong and weak estrogens and good and bad estrogens. The strong and weak are the active estrogens that circulate in the bloodstream. Good and bad estrogens are waste products. Chemical estrogens are just that, chemicals found in the environment, especially pesticides, that act like real estrogens in the body. Finally, there are anti-estrogens. These are drugs, such as tamoxifen and raloxifene, that completely block the effects of estrogen in the breast. All estrogens have one feature in common. They must lock onto a receptor to work. Receptors are switches that turn biological systems on, as an electrical switch would turn a light on. There are several critical differences. First is that the receptor is turned on only by a molecule that precisely fits the receptor, like a key into a lock. In this case, the key is estrogen. Recall the different shaped blocks children play with, which have different shaped matching holes to put them into, round, square, rectangular, for example. Think of an estrogen receptor as being a triangular hole. Only triangular-shaped estrogen of precisely the same size will fit. A square or round block would have no chance. That means that estrogen can fit into the receptor, but other kinds of hormones cannot. Estrogen works its widespread wonders because the brain, bone, skin, heart, uterus, and dozens of other body parts have these estrogen receptors. So, with so many wonderful qualities, how could estrogen ever be considered harmful? There is one other body part, loaded with estrogen receptors, that soak up estrogen from your bloodstream. It is the breast. When too many strong, bad, or chemical estrogens reach these receptors in the breast, the potential for cancerous growth rises. Anatomy of the breast. The mature female breast is made up of millions of tiny milk-producing sacs. Milk flows from these sacs into milk ducts that carry milk to the nipple. These milk-producing sacs and the milk ducts have an inner lining. Picture for a moment the ceramic tiles that might line the walls of a tunnel or an ancient aqueduct. Like these ceramic tiles, a special cell called an epithelial cell lines the inner surfaces of the milk sacs and milk ducts through which the milk passes. This, as we'll see, is the breast's Achilles heel. What estrogen does? Estrogen directly affects these epithelial cells that make up the milk sacs and ducts in the breast by attaching to their receptors. It is in these milk duct cells that cancer develops. Estrogen causes these cells to divide more often and more rapidly, creating thousands of new cells. It does this by turning on many genes responsible for growth and proliferation. Each time these cells divide, there is the chance for a mistake to be made, leading to cancerous changes in the cell. Lots of estrogen causes these cells to divide, multiply, and grow even more quickly. It does this by speeding up the cell's cycle clock. That is, each cell has a gene clock that dictates how quickly or slowly it grows and replicates itself. Lots of estrogen speeds up this clock. If these are cancerous cells, what they need to divide and flourish is fuel, and that fuel is estrogen. Let's follow the estrogen pathway from the time estrogen is produced, along its journey through the bloodstream to the estrogen receptors and its eventual effect on DNA. Remember that foods can powerfully block every one of these processes. We'll see how in the following section. Excess estrogen. The ovaries, adrenals, and fat cells are the key estrogen factories. If their production goes into high gear, large amounts of estrogens are secreted into your bloodstream, and that increases your risk of breast cancer. Let's look at the evidence. Researchers at New York University measured estrogen levels in women long before they ever developed breast cancer. Years later, the NYU Women's Health Study found that those postmenopausal women who developed breast cancer had a markedly higher amount of estrogen measured in their blood than those women who did not have cancer. A study of Chinese women showed that the higher their estrogen levels, the higher the risk of breast cancer. Also, American women with a family history of breast cancer have higher levels of estrogen. Now look at the protective effect on women who produce very little estrogen. Women who underwent total hysterectomies before age 40 had a striking 75% lower incidence of breast cancer. Since the ovaries were removed, their body produced very little estrogen. These are just a few examples. In all, there are nearly 100 good studies that associate high estrogen levels with a high risk of breast cancer and low levels with a low risk. How much your risk of cancer rises also depends on the kind of estrogen that attaches to the estrogen receptors in the breast. Let's now look more closely at the different kinds of estrogens that can increase the risk of breast cancer. Strong estrogens. Consider that estrogen, represented as a triangular block, has to fit into a triangular receptor. Think of that block as a battery. The strongest estrogen, estradiol, may carry the power of a big car battery, greatly increasing the risk of cancer. Why? When estradiol attaches to the estrogen receptor, it creates a powerful signal inside the breast cell for cell growth. Other estrogens might carry the power of a small penlight battery. Weak estrogens might have the power of a very small camera battery. The more powerful the estrogen, the greater its cancer-promoting potential. Very weak estrogens may actually protect against cancer by blocking access to the receptor, so powerful estrogens cannot insert themselves. In essence, all of the triangular holes get filled up by the weaker estrogen, leaving no more space for the powerful estrogens. That means very little power is delivered to the cell, and the signal that reaches the cell's DNA is weak, creating very little potential for cell growth. Chemical estrogens. Natural and plant estrogens aren't the only ones that can attach to breast receptors. So can certain synthetic chemicals. Pesticides in our food and water, called chemical estrogens, can mimic the biologic actions of estrogen. That's because they have the same triangular shape as natural estrogens made by the body. They are so similar in their molecular composition to natural estrogens that the estrogen receptor can't tell the difference between them. These chemical estrogens lock right into the estrogen receptors and stimulate cells in the milk ducts to divide and grow, just as real estrogens do. Although there are only minute quantities of these pesticides in our food and water, the breast can concentrate them to highly toxic levels. How? As we've seen, the breast is constructed from milk duct cells that are surrounded and supported by fat cells. These fat cells can concentrate chemicals to toxic levels. For instance, the breast fat cell absorbs a form of the pesticide DDT from the bloodstream and stores it at concentrations 700 times greater than is found in the blood. Bad estrogens. At the end of the day, estrogen is discarded by the body. To make estrogen easier to dispose of, the body changes estrogen into different forms. But which disposal form your body makes may determine whether or not you get breast cancer, according to researchers at the Strang Cancer Prevention Center in New York. The breakdown products are a good estrogen or a bad estrogen, much like the good and bad cholesterol in your blood. The good appears to protect against breast cancer, whereas the bad may play a very powerful role in triggering the development of cancer. Foods can increase the amount of good estrogen you make. Among Japanese women who had breast cancer, those with high counts of good estrogen had no spread to the lymph nodes. Among those who had low counts of good estrogen, there was a spread to lymph nodes. Later in this program, you will find an entire section on good and bad estrogens. Recycled estrogens. Estrogen circulates through the bloodstream for less than a day, then is disposed of by the body, which transports it from the bloodstream through the liver and into the bowel for excretion. Once estrogen is put into the bowel for disposal, you'd think that was the end. Unfortunately, estrogen can be absorbed from the bowel into the bloodstream, which can contribute to higher estrogen levels in the blood. And this happens when there is too little fiber to bind estrogen and carry it from the bowel. Free estrogen. Most estrogen is transported from the ovaries and other production sites in the bloodstream on what is called a carrier molecule. You might think of the estrogen as a triangular log tightly strapped onto a barge for transport down a river, rather than floating freely in the river by itself. Only estrogen that is free can attach to an estrogen receptor in the breast. The higher the amount of free estrogen in your blood, the higher the risk of breast cancer. Estrogen cannot make its way into the breast to attach to a receptor so long as it is attached to its carrier. The technical name for the carrier is sex hormone binding globulin, or SHBG. As we'll see, binding more of the free estrogen by building more carriers is a significant way to lower your risk. Anti-estrogens. These are drugs such as tamoxifen and raloxifene. They dramatically cut the estrogen effect, blocking access of all estrogens to the estrogen receptor so that there is no signal for growth inside the breast cell. prolonged exposure to estrogens. High levels of estrogen are only one way to increase your risk. The other is to increase the total amount of time you are exposed to estrogens over the course of a lifetime. The more years you menstruate, the greater your risk of cancer. Both an early menarche and a late menopause create years of increased estrogen exposure. Girls with the earliest menarche before age 14 have a 30% increased risk of cancer. Women who have a later menopause, say age 55, have a 50% higher risk of breast cancer than those whose menopause occurs before age 45. The most fascinating evidence comes from Catholic nuns studied in Europe over 300 years ago. These nuns had a markedly higher level of breast cancer than married women with children. They obviously weren't being studied at the time for estrogen levels or in any systematic scientific way. But in hindsight, we recognize the cause of their cancer was the uninterrupted estrogen flow. Boosting the effect of estrogen. After estrogen has completed its journey from the ovaries through the bloodstream to the receptor, the game is far from over. The only way estrogen works is by attaching to a receptor. Once estrogen attaches to the receptor, the signal can be magnified enormously to create a strikingly higher risk of breast cancer. This is called a booster effect. Now that means whatever power estrogen carries to the receptor, that power can be magnified so that the final effect on cell growth is tremendous. As we'll see, the kinds of fats you eat determine the amount of booster effect. Cancer initiation. Pulling the trigger. So far, we've seen the role of estrogen as a fuel that causes cells to divide and grow. But something must still pull the trigger to initiate changes in the cell that turn it cancerous. When scientists say they are looking for the cause of breast cancer, they are really looking for whatever substance or toxin damages the cell's DNA. DNA is thought of as an extraordinary blueprint that carries all of the instructions for the complete building, care, and maintenance of every part of the human body. But DNA goes beyond mere blueprints. It is also chief architect and general contractor, manufacturing the elements that build every element of every cell in the body. The entire complement of DNA contains the equivalent of 500,000 typewritten pages. Imagine having those 500,000 pages on a computer disk and having the disk constantly zapped by chaotic electrical surges 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year in and year out for 80 years, without ever suffering a single misspelling or loss of data, while being used by tens of thousands of computer operators. Error-free operation is just not possible, and that's the trouble with DNA. It's under a blistering day-long attack. These blueprints get zapped up to 1,000 times every day by the toxins that are in our environment and in the foods that we eat. To protect itself, DNA has an enormous repair crew to repair the damage. This repair crew has to spot that one error out of a billion and fix it. Should, however, the repair crew get taken out of action by potent carcinogens, or should the damage be so devastating that it can't be repaired, the damaged DNA reprograms a normal cell and turns it into a cancer cell. Doctors have classically been led to believe that there is just a single zap that pulls the trigger and creates an error that leads to cancer. With breast cancer, nothing could be further from the truth. The new emerging concept is that there are lots of mutations and genetic defects. For the most benign of cancers, there are at least half a dozen errors. For the most severe and aggressive, there are up to 50 errors. Each one may come from a different cancer-causing substance. When scientists look at DNA, they see a distinct pattern of damage that is characteristic of environmental damage. The gene most frequently damaged is called P53. But the distinct patterns of damage vary widely from one population of women to another. So it's likely that women in Austria suffer a very different kind of damage than women in Los Angeles or Australia. Thus, it is very difficult to come up with one approach to preventing cancer initiation. But there is one new emerging concept, an overall measure of the daily siege that DNA undergoes. It goes by the name oxidative load. Oxidative load sounds fairly innocuous, but here's what it means. Elements in the body called free radicals are responsible for the cellular damage that occurs with aging in heart disease, cancer, and most degenerative diseases, regardless of what the original toxin may have been. These free radicals cut and hack away at DNA at a furious pace. The more free radicals clustered around doing their damage to your DNA, the higher the oxidative load. Inside your body, they are created from fat metabolism. External sources range from solar and ionizing radiation to cigarette smoke, air pollutants, heavy metals, ozone, organic solvents, pesticides, and food additives. More to the point, researchers can actually see a higher oxidative stress in the breasts of women with breast cancer than in those who are cancer-free. So, in summary, while we can't single out specific foods or toxins that initiate breast cancer, we can measure oxidative load. The lower that load, the lower your risk of cancer, and certain foods dramatically reduce oxidative load. The following section looks first at how to cut the estrogen effect, and then at how to lower oxidative load. How foods can prevent breast cancer. Chemo prevention. There have been four standard ways of treating cancer: radiation, chemotherapy, surgery, and biological therapy. Now emerging is a new and far more important technique, chemo prevention. Chemo prevention allows you to prevent a cancer from growing in the first place, or to treat a preclinical cancer. Many of you are familiar with this idea from pap smears that have come back abnormal but not cancerous. They may show dysplasia but not cancer. Early treatment prevents cancer. We know that a breast cancer could take as long as 33 years to develop. For much of that time, it is unseen and undetectable by standard methods. As an example, in their 40s, 40% of women have small cancers in their breasts that escape detection, according to autopsy reports of women who died from other causes. Only when the tumor reaches 1 billion cells in size can a mammogram detect it. That's the smallest that a radiologist can see, but it is simply enormous in terms of cancer growth. What this program is designed to do is change the biology of your breast so that you create a very unfavorable climate for a cancer to grow. Here's how. Cancer is often treated with a variety of chemical agents to target the cancer's life cycle in as many ways as possible. Because of our great daily familiarity with foods, we tend to discount their ability to work as medicines. But look at the proven ways in which foods can act to target cancer development. They can disrupt hormonal pathways that cause cancer, repair the genetic material DNA, inactivate harmful chemicals, inactivate enzymes that drive chemical reactions, scavenge mutant cells, lower oxidant levels with antioxidants, inhibit tumor growth. Basically, the entire tool chest needed to stop a cancer before it starts. And fighting cancer requires a big tool chest. This section will show you how you can block the estrogen effect in a step-by-step fashion with the right kinds of foods. Remember that the key principle of cancer chemotherapy is to use several different agents to interrupt the cancer cell's growth with several critical chokeholds. The same concept applies before a cell becomes cancerous, using multiple agents to block the amount of estrogen that flows through the bloodstream and attaches to estrogen receptors in the breast. You will find that many of these steps can be targeted with more than one nutritional strategy. Some of the same strategies, such as high-fiber or low-fat diets, affect more than one step because they have more than one anti-cancer action. You'll find each of these measures covered at length in a section of its own. There's a lot of science in this section. Don't be overwhelmed by it. In the end, it all comes down to blunting the estrogen effect and blocking the trigger that causes cancer. As you'll see in the last part of this program, the diet itself is pretty simple. I include the science because knowledge leads to tremendous empowerment and because it will allow you to change and adapt your diet as new discoveries are made. The more you know about what you are doing to your body, the more likely you are to succeed. slow down estrogen production. How useful is the idea of decreasing the effect of estrogens? R.L. Prentice, in Cancer Causes and Control, estimates that a 17% reduction in the key estrogen estradiol might produce a 4- to 5-fold reduction in breast cancer. In other words, small changes in estrogen levels can affect large changes in the risk of cancer. Let's look at the most effective steps. Low-fat diet. A low-fat diet is eaten in those countries such as China, Japan, and Singapore with the lowest incidence of breast cancer. Countries with higher fat diets, these include England, Scotland, and Wales, and Finland, have more breast cancer. For instance, Finnish women on higher fat diets had higher estradiol levels than Asian women, and far higher breast cancer rates. In fact, if there is one common denominator found in Asian women with low risk of breast cancer, it is a low level of estradiol. Remember that estradiol is the most important and powerful of the natural estrogens. A high-fat diet increases estradiol production by 30%. In dozens of animal experiments, a high-fat diet spurs the growth of cancers. But the connection between low-fat and low estrogen levels isn't just an observation. It is something that works in real life. The British Journal of Cancer showed that a 15% low-fat diet, followed rigorously for 2 years, lowered estradiol levels by 20%. High-fiber diet. Hand-in-hand with a low-fat diet is a high-fiber diet. Americans pay great lip service to fiber, but eat vanishingly little of it by world standards. However, when the American Health Foundation made a real effort to increase fiber intake substantially, even they were surprised by the results. The more wheat bran patients ate, the lower their blood levels of estrogen were. After just 2 months of a 20 grams per day wheat bran supplement, estradiol decreased significantly. But the addition of high fiber to low fat is especially potent medicine. African American women have far higher levels of estrogen than Caucasian women. Their high-fat, low-fiber diet is held accountable. Doctors at Tufts University fed African American women a 40 grams per day high-fiber diet combined with a 20% low-fat diet. Estradiol fell 8.5%, and estrogen sulfate, the most prevalent estrogen, fell by 22%. This same high-fiber, low-fat diet works wonders for millions of women trying to control excess body fat. Lower body fat. Excess body fat works as an enormous estrogen factory. The more fat cells and the bigger they are, the more estrogen they produce. As many women gain weight, those who gain it up top, that is, in their breasts and upper abdomen, add the greatest risk. Obesity is associated with poorer survival in women who contract cancer. The less body fat you have, the less estrogen you will produce. When studying Japanese women, scientists hypothesized that a big part of the reduced risk of cancer they see in a low-fat diet simply comes from having less fat and therefore less estrogen. Keeping body fat low is especially important as an adult. Weight gain from early adulthood may account for as much as a third of new cases of postmenopausal breast cancer. Lower insulin levels. Only recently has a connection been made between insulin and breast cancer. Insulin is a strong promoter of the estrogen effect. Insulin is like half-strength estrogen, stimulating cells to divide just like estrogen. That may sound unimpressive, but estrogen and insulin work synergistically, stimulating DNA to copy its messages for cell growth and division. It is yet another example of how one and one adds up to far more than two. A high insulin syndrome often depends on where you store fat. If you have an apple shape, where excess body fat is carried above the hips, you are at risk for a high insulin level. That's contrasted to a pear shape, where excess fat is carried below the hips in the thighs and buttocks. A diet rich in starches and sugars increases insulin levels. This is referred to as a high glucose load diet. Because your system cannot handle the tremendous load of sugar that this diet pours into your system, your body will pour out equally large amounts of the hormone insulin to defend itself. Women who gain body fat around the upper abdomen usually eat a high glucose load diet and suffer from an excess production of insulin. Since high insulin level is such a potent promoter of the estrogen effect, it's important to cut those insulin levels both to protect yourself against cancer and to control your weight. The section Step 4, Lower Insulin, tells you how. Limit alcohol. Whether you produce a moderate or high amount of estrogen, alcohol is one last factor that can drive any amount of estrogen to an even higher level. Alcohol is fast emerging as a major risk. The risk of breast cancer is increased 11% per drink per day. 4 drinks a day and your risk increases 44%. Aromatase inhibitors. These drugs can cut the production of estrogen from fat stores in the breast to nearly zero. They are soon to be used in clinical trials to prevent breast cancer. Decrease other estrogens. Here's how to counter the ill effects of bad, recycled, chemical, and free estrogens. Bad estrogen. Even if you produce moderate to high amounts of estrogen, there is an emerging strategy to blunt its potency. You can actually channel your estrogen into good estrogen rather than bad estrogen by eating a diet high in cruciferous vegetables. Those include cauliflower, broccoli, and cabbage. Both exercise and low body fat also increase the production of good estrogen. Alcohol, polyunsaturated fats, and too much body fat all increase the production of bad estrogen. Recycled estrogen. When estrogen is transported from the bloodstream through the liver and into the bowel for disposal, it is assisted by large amounts of fiber in the bowel. That fiber binds to estrogen in the intestine so that the body cannot reabsorb it, ensuring that it is excreted with other waste products. However, when there is too little fiber in the diet, the estrogen remains free in the bowel and may be reabsorbed by the body into the bloodstream, raising the amount of estrogen in the bloodstream. A study at Tufts University showed that the more a woman's bowel movement weighed, the lower was her blood estrogen level. The assumption is that the increased weight of the bowel movement was due to the fiber. Free estrogen. The most effective way to decrease the amount of free estrogen in the blood is to build more of the carriers that bind estrogen in the blood and keep it from estrogen receptors. Let's look at the key strategies. The prime regulator of estrogen carriers is the hormone insulin, according to Banu Parpiya of the China Cornell Oxford Project. The lower you can drop your insulin, the more estrogen carriers your body manufactures. A low-fat diet also reduces the amount of free estrogen in healthy postmenopausal women. Soy also manufactures more carriers. A high-fiber diet helps to bind more free estrogen in your blood and keeps it at lower, safer levels.